Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We will be talking about the death of Daria Dugina, the daughter of a man who came on this show, Alexander Dugin. And we have video just after the event that has been circulating on the internet. And we can see Alexander Dugin being extremely distraught at the fact that his daughter, he just saw his daughter explode. So the context of this video is that both Alexander Dugin and his daughter Daria Dugina were going to a, they had gone to a arts festival, and people have been pointing that it doesn't make sense to have been making this decision. Someone was saying, why didn't they live like JF, a secluded life? It's true that it is a risky to, especially in a country like Russia, where there is plenty of place for corruption, for killings, for mafia takeovers of certain towns. There's no place, you're totally safe, and I wouldn't be a public intellectual and go to Hearts Festival if I was Alexander Dugin. But in any case, they went. There was a lack of care there. Amazingly, as they return from the festival, Alexander Dugin decides to give his own car to his daughter. His daughter had her own car, but somehow, I don't know, something led to a change of decision about who would drive which car, and somehow Daria Dugina found herself driving the car of Alexander Dugin, and that was fatal to her, because after a couple of minutes of driving, finding herself on the highway, a bomb that was probably meant to kill both, or probably meant to kill Alexander Dugin, the bomb exploded while she was the sole driver, and Alexander Dugin saw the explosion from a car that was following from behind, and here we can see his reaction. He is holding his head. As the car that contained his daughter exploded, caught fire, and drifted toward the other side of the road that she was driving, so she was at a highway speed already, so when the explosion occurred, she died, and the car lost control and crossed the road and ended up in a tree. That was Daria Dugina, or as she was sometimes referring herself as, Daria Platonova. That was her pen name. She was involved in editing, in participating in YouTube channels, in commentary. She was taking pretty much the path of her father in terms of ideology, which is to defend Russia as another civilization among the civilizations. So instead of seeing the world as a unipolar world, they have been pushing for a multipolar view, where what America is entitled to, Russia is also entitled to. Her father describes this view as civilizations with an S at the end, rather than understanding the world as revolving around one civilization, which is America. Blankeon says, as to be expected in a war. Yes, I am on the fence on saying everything is fair in love and war, you know, as Coach Red Pill says. It's definitely what comes to mind. When you are at war and you are one of the agents pressing on one side, you are leading to the killings on the other side, and therefore the other side at times will find themselves to be justified in attacking you. At the same time, this was committed by our side, okay? Let's be clear about this. That people are saying, oh, there are speculations on the internet that this could be a result of intelligence services of Ukraine or the US. To me, this death is definitely on the shoulders of the US. Not in necessarily in the sense that the soldiers who did it or the terrorists who did that were necessarily American. But when you send billions of dollars in one of the most corrupted countries, it's going to trickle down in all of the bad ways that this country manages money with. And inevitably, you're going to have it list. Inevitably, you're going to have high prices on the head of political opponents. And I believe that therefore, we can definitely attribute Daria Platonova's death to the actions of the government of the US. No matter if it was a Ukrainian or a Russian or a US citizen that installed the bomb itself, we have created a market pressure for pro-Ukrainian dirty moves. When you send that much money to a country that practices that kind of mafia behavior, terrorism behavior, inevitably you're going to cause more of it. And I think we caused this. I think it is not random that someone who is pursuing an ideological line that is anti-American in a way, not anti-American in the sense of destroying America, but anti-American in the sense of offering an alternative to Western liberal thought. It's not random that this guy is being targeted for murder. This morning, I'm becoming paranoid at this point since Alexander Dugin, I consider him a friend, and seeing that he's been targeted here by an attempt, I developed different techniques this morning to check below my car to ensure that I was inspecting everything. Not that I think I'm necessarily the next target, but I've always taken extra precautions, and I'm taking now new precautions in relation to this, because if the intelligence services of the US and the whole Ukrainian gangsters have decided that they were at war with any ideological opponent of the West, then they will do dirty stuff and they will strike random people. This the problem here is, and this is all in response to you saying, as should be expected in war. Here's the problem. This is terrorism. Going after intellectuals for the purpose of intimidation of potential future intellectuals is sending a message to the population, and it's an ideological message. To me, that is not part of honorable practices of war. To me, if the other side was doing this, America would be criticizing it. Killing journalists, killing intellectuals is terrorism. And, all international global systems would criticize this if it was committed by a non-Western nation. And yet, here we have Western terrorism rising. That is extremely grave. And I don't want to just dismiss this and says, it's war. One person hits the other and it's just like this. No, it's not just like this. There's war, there's military strategy, and then there is the big media brainwash that is currently happening on this story, which is a whole slew of lies and constructions. That is absolutely stunning. It's actually hard to find actual information on Daria Dugina because as soon as you Google her name right now, you have all of the media saying she was the architect with her father of the Ukrainian war. That is not true. Her father was not the architect of the Ukrainian war. At best, her father was in line with Putin, was creating intellectual justifications for Putin. But there is not even evidence at this point that they were in contact with Vladimir Putin. It has been pointed out many times that Alexander Dugin was perhaps even too aggressive for Putin to be comfortable in the sense that he was truly seeing a Russian empire, whereas Vladimir Putin has always been playing it, downplaying this this aspect and focusing on the humanitarian crisis in Donetsk and Luhansk. So what you see currently in the media saying that this guy is the brain of Putin is absolutely ridiculous. He is just a man who has a conception of Russia as existing. If that makes him pro-Putin, if that is what makes him, as they call him, far right ultra-nationalist, then it really doesn't take much to be a far right ultra-nationalist. Alexander Dugin has always struck me, and when he came on this show, it did strike me that he was kind of a loose thinker who didn't have that much of a set project, even for Russia. He was seeing something emerge in Russia as being offering a push against liberal ideology, against American ideology, but that push wasn't fully defined, and his fourth political theory is not fully defined. So tonight we will look at some videos of Daria Dugina to get to know her and to get to know the woman who unfortunately seems to have been accidentally struck as they were targeting her father, or perhaps struck intentionally as they were targeting both. But it must be quite dramatic to be Alexander Dugin right now and to see your daughter pay the price of political involvement and ideological involvement on the public space. Blankeon says, okay, no, he's talking to Go Away. Go Away says, Ukraine is suffering casualties at 10 times the rate of Russia. NATO is never going to put boots on the ground. They will concede the Donbass eventually. Yes, I don't see any other conclusion, which is why the whole pressure being put on Ukraine to continue a semblance of war, to get some finance advantages from the West is ridiculous. It helps no one. It causes more suffering. And at this point, the irresponsible funding by the West of Ukraine is increasing human suffering, both in Ukraine and outside Ukraine. It's absolutely ridiculous. So here we can see the morning after the explosion. There were teams that were trying to collect evidence, collect various pieces. This was after the explosion. And this perhaps seems to be the area where the truck on fire was observed in the earlier video. Genesis says Dugin is right about liberalism as equaling, as its goal is to liberate from all natural divine conventions, and it means your death. It's one way to view it. Liberalism causes a problem of existence as it arrives because it disconnects you from your tradition. Zelensky warns. Der Goldschaft says, did the explosion went off while she was driving? It does seem so because the car continued at high speed for a while and crossed the full highway toward the other side. So it seems that she had some kinetic energy at the moment of the explosion. Zelensky warns of nastier phase of war as Russia says Dugin car bombing was a contract killing. It does look like it in the current the current stage of the current state of Ukraine is stuck with a lot of money and a lot of things that they would like to see happen, and a lot of people on the ground who may be sole actors and who are willing to make it happen. And so this creates an extremely bad situation, a situation where a bunch of criminals, mafiosos of all kind, can be like, oh yeah, I can kill Alexander Dugin for $1 million or whatever it is. And I think this is what we've seen. Ukraine is bracing for a likely escalation in Russian attacks following last night's killing of the daughter of Alexander Dugin, Daria Dugina, by what looked to be a car bomb as she was driving his car home from an event. Based on the details that emerged, many believe it was an assassination attempt on the prominent but deeply controversial Russian political commentator and philosopher himself. So I don't know what will be the causes of this event on the war. I don't know to which extent the Russians will be taking issue with this, will be offended by this, and will be calling for more attacks onto Ukraine. It's possible that they will really take issue with it. I have difficulty understanding within Russian culture to which extent is she and is Alexander Dugin an individual who can cause public outrage. I'm not sure if the attack on them will cause public outrage. JLP says, Dugin's daughter, quote, "I'm fully anti-racist. Western society are racist totalitarians." I understand that she has said this, but you have to understand words in her mouth as differently from how you would normally understand them in Western civilization. So please understand that when she says, "I'm fully anti-racist," the context of that sentence was to complain against America being racist and America being anti-Russian specifically. So you have to understand that when she says, "I'm anti-racist," it doesn't mean like reparations for black people, okay? It means I want the globalist order to stop dissolving all nations, including my nation, Russia, and including my race, Russia, Russians. So people have been quoting that sentence of her and have been accusing her of being a secret SJW leftist. I wouldn't assume this. You require a whole understanding of her philosophy and ideology, which we will go through, but don't stick on easy explanations like this. It is a different society, and the same words may mean different things when translated. All right, so let's have a look at some of her public appearances. Here she was in an interview. There she is with some guy. She says, "This identity will be localized exclusively in Western Ukraine." She's talking about, he was asking about what will be the remaining Ukrainian identity. And she now describes what is the Ukrainian identity potentially after the Russia-Ukraine war. She says that there is an anti-Russian essence that has formed around Kiev. That it appears and launched around 8 years ago in Kiev. And so she's talking about the whole Yanukovych ouster and the whole development of an anti-Russian positioning in Ukraine.
На самом деле, тот же проект антироссия — это форма экстремальной идентичности, построенная на отрицании чего-то и возвышении какого-то одного из элементов. То есть, в принципе, западного.
So she's saying that this new Ukraine identity is in a denial of history.
Украина к интегрированию не подлежит. Вот что касается уже вопроса центральной Украины и восточной Украины, то здесь все-таки я по Донецку вижу, по Луганску, что там, и, собственно, по окружающим регион населенным пунктам, то, что там, в принципе, есть.
So she's saying that she perceives DPR, LPR and potentially other areas of eastern Ukraine that they can accept to be integrated to the Russian Empire, the Orthodox faith, the Russian ID, etc.
есть абсолютно готовность принять Евразийскую империю. Когда мы касаемся вопросов наших союзников, то, в принципе, все, кто выступает против западной материалистической цивилизации, те являются нашими соратниками, комрадами. Для меня, на самом деле, перспектива некоторого сотрудничества, союзничества с Китаем, она...
She believes that China will be receptive to some form of alliance or cooperation.
Положительно, потому что, в принципе, они нашли компромисс, как сохранить собственную идентичность, при этом остаться частью мировой системы.
Почему в прекрасной России преследуются люди, которые ходят на антивоенные митинги и высказываются против спецоперации, а на плохом Западе антивоенное движение, которое проходит во время Вьетнамской войны? Если за нашей власти правда, то чего и бояться?
Мне кажется, что когда воюют...
So the interviewer here is pushing her on the subject of why are people getting arrested for protesting the war? Why was there anti-Vietnam War protest in the US that could go on, but an anti-Ukraine war protest in the Russia gets immediately arrested? She answers, of course, that she thinks that when Russia is at war, we have to be solidary and in unity behind Russia. Of course, she could have had a better response to this guy. She could have said, well, it's not clear that the Vietnam War could be protested in the US. It was, if I remember correctly, it was heavily repressed at some time, even people were shot for being part of these protests.
Когда Россия воюет, и когда твое государство воюет, здесь должна быть абсолютная сплоченность.
So she believes that when your country is at war, there must be absolute unity. So she did have some support of the war efforts in Russia, but I think that it's being overplayed in the current leftist media, who are basically dancing on her grave. Now her father, and we will watch some parts in which she does speak English, because Daria was able to speak Russian, English, and French. She had studied in France for some sort of internship, maybe close to graduate school or something like this. She has been studying in Moscow initially, and then in France in Bordeaux.
We're at civilization.
So her father here is talking about Ukraine and about the idea of civilizations with an S.
Bar ourselves. Huntington was absolutely right. Fukuyama was, with whom I have very interesting discussions, by the way, was absolutely wrong.
So he's saying Fukuyama with the hand of history ID was absolutely wrong, that he sees more political developments as being cyclical with many forces, you know, adding, and he sees Russia as one of these legitimate forces.
There are civilizations with great S, and in the end, one of them is Russia. And we had no other possibility to prove that Huntington was right without attacking Ukraine. It's sad to say, but...
So he's saying that the war in Ukraine was essential to demonstrate his thesis.
Joining us now, and I'm
delighted he's
with us.
He says it a little provocatively, he says it in a... You know, I'm sorry, but it's the only thing we could do. I don't think, anyways, that this is the motivation of Putin. I think you don't go into a war to prove a political ideology. So that was a weird way of phrasing it, but you can see what he's talking about. He's saying, basically, my vision of Russia couldn't have been demonstrated if it wasn't that Russia has taken its will to power seriously and has accomplished this involvement in Ukraine. So basically, he sees the Ukraine war as the realization of his view of Russia as one pole in the multipolar world. So now let's move on to other parts of this duo, both him and and his daughter. Here we can see some coverage that was done by his daughter. she was covering the discovery of the Azov Battalion basement in Ukraine.
I'd like to say that this is a hardcore place because actually you can see everywhere symbols of this nationalist organization of Azov, and you can see the swastikas and all the signs which are usually used by the Nazis, and actually even the dots with the face of Zelensky. And here you can feel the aggressive...
So here you can see that she's delivering journalistic propaganda, and I don't want to accuse her badly of propaganda, but so I'm using the word propaganda here respectfully. But clearly here, our journalistic discourse is a propagandist, Russian-sided discourse that is meant to expose the presence of neo-Nazis in Ukraine. So she was here siding with the war of Putin.
Atmosphere, because the books which you analyze, you can see the instructions for the wearers of Ukrainian nationalist anti-terroristic operation which was launched in 2014 by Ukrainian government against the Donbass people. You can even feel here the Russophobic tendencies, because you see this incredible lot of literature which is Russophobic. You see here a lot of stuff which, for example, is foreign. You can see small medicines which were delivered by the NATO countries, and you can feel that this Russophobia is connected very, very close with this Ukrainian nationalism and with the globalism, of course, who was interested in this conflict, who was helping Ukraine to gain power, to become a monster, and this is incredible. But now the Azov Steel is under the control of Russian forces.
So she has an anti-globalist discourse, and here she's saying there is a heavy influence in these Azov Battalion. There is heavy influence from what we can see is a globalist influence, globalist medicines, medicines from outside the Russian world. She also had written some stuff for Russia Today. Monsieur General, Francis Macron is trying to distract from the economic crisis by impersonating a military tough guy while transforming into a pro-American version of the fiercely independent Charles de Gaulle, wash with the public. So she was doing some analysis internationally and understanding French politics, that kind of stuff. We can watch some parts here where she speaks in English about the multipolar world.
America of United States, and we see the alternative. The alternative represented by Russia is the multipolarity. The countries which didn't join the US in rhetorics and in the political way of behaving, this is the half of the world, including Africa, Middle East, China, India. There are a lot of geopolitical poles which didn't join this American imperialist line. This is the representative of the multipolarity. There are a lot of views on the conflict. There are different positions, different declarations, different ways of...
Dot says, I thought the show started at 8. We have moved to 7. I cannot guarantee that I'll be always at 7. Maybe sometimes I'll be missing it, but... For now, I'm trying to move totally to the show to 7 p.m. Eastern time. So sorry if that's a change, but it seems that it was what was a lot of people were asking this, that we return to our original time, and the summer is soon over. So I decided to switch. Findlay Opinion says, I think I prefer her to Jordan Peterson's daughter. I mean, clearly here, whether you think what she says is good or intelligent or true, definitely we have someone here who was on her path to developing an intellectual positioning on the public space. She was truly a geopolitical thinker.
Political and geopolitical behavior, but still, we see now that the geopolitical map is changing, and it has changed. The special military operation showed that the globalist era, the globalist moment as Mr. Charles Krauthammer, the American journalist, was characterizing this moment. This is only the moment, but not the dominance, not the era, the globalist era. So the globalist era is over.
So she's saying that the Ukraine war, what she calls the special operation, because it's the term that that is desirable in Russian journalism in the light of Putin's request. And she's saying that this this war, it marks the beginning of the end of the globalist domination.
And this is the beginning of the multipolarity. The multipolarity is always a task, so it requires long-term work with the civilizations. As we remember in the Samuel Huntington's picture, there were loads of civilization, and the problem of that is how to install the peace between all of them. There are the front lines, the frontiers, and here we need to focus our attention. So as we speak now, so this was the introduction about the necessity of geopolitics, about the fact that the special military operation has put a point, and it was the moment where the geopolitical dominance of the civilization of the sea has ended, and the world had became multipolar. It was traumatic. It was caused by a conflict, but of course this conflict, I can say, had changed the logics of time. It became quicker. So we are now in the multipolar era. So as we live now in the multipolar world, which is in its installation, and different poles are now trying to have their own sovereignty, to develop their own regional initiatives, we need to be very attentive and to analyze the processes which are happening now near Russia, near Turkey, near China. And
so she's saying that as part of the development of a multipolar world, she sees the Ukraine as being setting up a line of friction between American civilization, NATO, and Russia, and that it's a normal process in the establishment of a multipolar world. Unfortunately, she had been targeted, which I think she had been targeted very unfairly by the series of Department of Treasury of the United States sanctions list on March 3rd, 2022. She was the chief editor of a disinformation website called United World International. And I think that her killing here may not be totally foreign to this designation. You know, you have the American government that decides this is disinformation, this is bad, this person cannot have US dollars in any bank account. And by sanctioning individuals like this, they are exposing these individuals to risk. And at this point, they are participating to the terroristic ambience that is created in Ukraine against the dissenters, against people who may not think the NATO way or who may not think the US or Ukraine way. Here she was covering live an event in which an explosion happened that she was attributing to Azovstal, to the Azov battalion.
The place, and the pupils were all in the online distance education, and the teachers were here. So two of people of the school were killed, 20 were injured, more than 20, that's 20, who officially addressed the hospital. This is incredible because it's very symbolical. This school was built in 1949. In 1943, it resisted the fascist occupation and the fascist bombarding. It resisted. In 2022, it was bombed by the same fascists with the other face, with the totalitarian Ukrainian side, which does this in order to do the psychological destabilization. There is no military object. What is the aim? The aim is to destabilize it by the civilians. This is something like we can call the carpet bombardment. They are cruel. They have no human feeling in themselves.
Yeah, but So this is 2022, but this isn't the first time this has happened in this city.
Yes, actually, that was happening during 8 years. So this is a thing which happens every day, every week. While it was in 2014, it happened. Then it happened from time to time. And now the strikes and the bombardments are intensified. So now we can witness that every day. And if you're here, if you're here and you stay here in Donetsk, you will hear how they are attacking Donetsk. And you will understand that they're attacking the regions, which are the regions where there is no army, where there are civilians. And they had received from the West the artillery, which gives you the possibility to strike really far.
Yeah. In fact, last night we heard 155 being utilized against the city.
Yes.
And just a few minutes ago, I heard an explosion.
Yeah, actually, when you are in Donetsk, you hear it every hour. Actually, it's very intensified. And according to people who live here permanently, this is really now a hard phase of the bombarding. Before, they were bombarding Kyivsky Rayon, Petrovsky Rayon, but they were not touching the center. Oh. Now we can hear.
Yeah, I just heard it again.
Yeah, we.
So she was giving coverage a little bit like our friend Coach Redpill, very much in line with the interest of the Russian government, in line with justifying here the humanitarian cause of going to save the Donetsk people who were under bombardment since 2014. White Zealot says LARPing as a serious geopolitics journalist when she should have been barefoot in her home with 4+ children. Well, yes, that is definitely a missed opportunity and a very sad event. It's of course extremely sad when a woman has taken the direction of the tough world and the tough world gets back at her. But it seems to be what was motivating her, and it seemed to be what she wanted to do. She wanted to walk the path of her father. So sometimes this influence, you can be an author and a liberal thinker, kind of, and I'm not saying liberal in the sense that he hates, but liberal in the sense of being a cosmopolitan intellectual. And you don't want to train your children into that path. You want to send them away from that path and, in fact, highlight them the other possibilities of life, because it's not an easy life. And yes, you can die from it. But yeah, some people were pointing to the fact that you can't call this LARPing when you die. It is definitely, she has paid the price with her life for her political involvement. So, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform to receive super chats, so don't hesitate to send your questions and comment using the dollar button. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. There's a passage where I believe at some point she speaks in French.
Between globalism and populism, between the globalism and alternative vision of the world, is now being played in France. We are now the witness of the first round of the presidential election, where Macron and Le Pen are winning and going to the second round of the elections, which will have place on the 24th of April. The most important thing in these elections is that this is completely two different civilizations, two different worlds. Macron is representing a globalist, hardcore Atlantist.
So she was very enthusiastic about Marine Le Pen kind of incarnating her view of the multipolar world. Here she is in a kind of stream where she's being questioned and attacked on her views a little bit.
And to do the demilitarization and the Nazification of Ukraine. So this
is
very important to note. I agree fully with this statement because I was analyzing from the military point.
So she says that she agrees with the characterization that the Ukraine operation is a denazification operation.
Interview, and I was communicating with the Minister of Defense and asking them exactly the questions you raised up. So I was asking them in details to get the whole picture. I wanted to say, Bogdan, you mentioned a very important thing, that you agree somehow that there was there is a Western help and it helps from your point of view. But the thing is that all this conflict and this hot face was reached by the Western powers. So yes, they help you now, but they provoked the conflict. They was provoking
Russia
the instability. No. Question: Russia had.
We have a Jewish president. How can you conduct denazification when we have a president of Jewish origin?
Sorry, this is not the argument. He didn't.
So this guy is pushing back and saying, "How can you call this denazification when we have a Jewish president?" Kind of a bizarre argument because it just turns out that your Jewish president has been hanging out with neo-Nazi battalions, but you can see that she was here defending a Russian perspective on streams, and here she is covering various equipments of war.
Дизельная машина, мощность двигателя до 200 лошадиных сил. Здесь все прекрасно. Армия 2022 лучшие автомобили. Причем можно выбрать различные модели. Вот такие бронеавтомобили.
All right, so she, I don't understand Russian, so I'm not in a position to translate here. Here she speaks about Azovstal.
Ей выговаривали что-то, могли ее ударить.
Скалы навалены, да, ты просто сажаешь. I've been translating some of these conversations, and she's always pushing for this multipolar world idea of her father and pushing forward with this. So that is what we had. Now, in terms of the American coverage of this, they are almost celebrating her death, pointing to her as a propagandist, a Putin propagandist, daughter of Putin propagandist, killed in car bombing outside Moscow, targeted hit. What? You are celebrating this? Investigators believe her father may have been the target. The daughter of a far-right Russian ideologue, commonly known as Putin's brain. That's the phrase we see in every single American media, Putin's brain. And it's a sentence that was used in a single outlet ever in the history before. It's like a super specialized geopolitics outlet. But this morning, it's the NATO line. It's what you will see in every single Western media. Putin's brain, Putin's brain. When in fact, there is not even public evidence of any kind that Alexander Dugin has ever met Vladimir Putin. For his supposed influence over the Russian president's fascist views was killed in a car bombing outside Moscow late Saturday, triggering outraged calls for revenge from pro-Kremlin figures who blamed Ukraine for the blast. Russia's investigative committee confirmed that Daria Dugina, the daughter of Alexander Dugin, was killed when an explosive device planted under the bottom of the car detonated as she was driving. The committee described the explosion as a targeted hit that had been planned in advance, though they did not say if they believed Dugina herself had been the target. Images of the blast were widely circulated on Telegram. Both Dugina and her father had attended a festival devoted to Russian culture just before the explosion, where a series of pro-Kremlin pundits, including Dugin, delivered lectures on the importance of traditional Russian values. Investigators suspect that's where someone was able to stick a bomb on the bottom of the car, but there were no CCTV cameras in the VIP parking area where the car was parked, according to the 112 news outlet, which cited law enforcement sources. So Alexander Dugin was set up. He was set up at a place where he was expected to give a speech, and he used this opportunity to, and probably the low security that was associated with it, and the fact that he wasn't in a hidden place or home, he was publicly known to be there. So someone swept a bomb at that point. They have been opportunistically profiting from a public involvement of him, which is also why public involvement is not a super good idea, especially if you're in a corrupt nation. If you're in a nation where you can get killed, you might get killed if they don't like what you're saying. Go away, says JF Dugan, is Putin's brain and Alex Jones is Trump's brain. I am the brain of Australian PM Anthony Albanese, by the way. okay, that is funny. That is funny. Who's my brain then? Is there a JF brain or is the JF brain in JF's head? Sam says, were there any American public intellectuals or even ex-government figures who acted as propagandists for the Iraq War of 2003? Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, if you see the multipolar world as legitimate and you don't believe that America has any special right, then the fact that there's an intellectual class that does the bidding of the warmongering side of its country is totally normal. It's what has been happening across the mediatic landscape in America for Iraq. So all of the journalists started parroting the false, demonstrably false propaganda of the American government. And when Russia does this, and it's not even clear that we are faced with falsehoods, they get targeted by sanctions from the US. So it's like the US doesn't want to let anything else become a pole of a certain force of civilization on this planet. Mama JF says, I'm JF's brain, lol, I give him all the scoops. Mama JF, international geopolitics journalist in secret, working in the basement. Car bomb kills daughter of spiritual guide to Putin's Ukraine invasion. Russian authorities said Sunday they had opened a murder investigation, blah, blah, blah. Taking into account the data already obtained, the investigation believes that the crime was pre-planned and was of an ordered nature. It's kind of a bizarre way of phrasing it, but what that means, I suppose, is a targeted nature. Reuters, of course, is also on the case, wanting to put some sorting on the facts around Alexander Dugin, because the representation that he's behind the Ukraine war is absolutely exaggerated. He is a thinker, he's been sharing his thoughts across the decades, and he is also relatively in line with Putin's decision, and has been talking about such building of empire before. But to say that he's directly the cause or involved in the war is exaggerated. And Reuters does kind of a good job at balancing the facts here. They say, Dugin, 60, has long advocated the unification of Russian-speaking and other territories in a vast new Russian empire, which he wants to include Ukraine. In 1997, in his book, Dugin was fiercely critical of U.S. influence in Eurasia and called for Russia to rebuild its own authority in the region and advocated breaking up the territory of other nations. That book featured on army reading lists, but there is no indication that Dugin has ever had direct influence on Russian foreign policy. So that's important. Because that's not what the Daily Beast will tell you. That's not what CNN will tell you. It should be an important mention that this view of Alexander Dugin as causing the current state of things is absolutely exaggerated. There is literally not a moment where intellectuals are given that much deference by the American media. It's like, are you serious? A guy publishing books causing a war? Like, has he been in contact with the military? Has he been a personal counselor of Putin? No, just by writing books, you would have caused the war. That would be extremely surprising. I think it's fairer to see intellectuals as capturing a mood and giving kind of a public representation to a mood, to a certain intellectual thought that's already present in society. Genesis says Dugin was a dreamer. Putin knows geopolitics better than Dugin. Yeah, I think that Dugin is extremely naive at times, and he's not even a fully formed thinker. He will just drop half ideas sometimes, you know, in a very loose way. I don't see him commander of an army. Dugin's influence over Vladimir Putin has been a subject for speculation, with some Russia watchers asserting that his sway is significant, but many calling it minimal. He has no official ties to the Kremlin. See, that's much better coverage than what I get at CNN and elsewhere. Much more balanced. The United States imposed sanctions on Dugin in 2015 for being responsible for or complicit in actions or policies that threaten the peace, security, stability, or sovereignty or territorial integrity of Ukraine. So it dates back a long time that these people, back in 2015, were already identified as kind of enemies of the globalist regime, basically, of NATO, of the US. So that closes it for what I had to say about Daria Dugina. So what a sad story. I am oscillating between taking it as, well, when you advocate for war, you may be paying the price of war. That is true. And when you participate to war, you are causing suffering on the other side, and therefore they might try to cause suffering on you. I'm oscillating between this view, but also the view that the targeting of intellectuals and journalists would always be reproached if it was happening on the other side, and so we should condemn it when it's happening here. We should point to the fact that the extensive involvement of the US in Ukraine, and especially the financial circumstance that was created, creates an incentive for terrorism, an incentive for dirty plays, because it gives money into the hands of people we don't control, and people who can easily say, hey, $1 million for this guy, $10 million for this guy. And they will get what they want that way, all with American money. No matter who it is that put this, the price on our head, or the price on Alexander Dugin's head, that person is probably in one way or another, directly or indirectly, getting paid in American money. And along the chain, this was all allowed by American money, in my view. Not necessarily by a bounty paid by the IRS with a check from the IRS, but you throw money onto a corrupt country. This corrupt country starts having a lot of money and doesn't know much about what to do with it. It goes into weaponry, it goes into corruption, and it goes into killing, because that's what Ukrainians do. That is just, they kill their mayors, they kill their political dissidents, they kill people in Ukraine. The rate of murder is absolutely incompatible with European life. Something like 3 or 4 times. It's more in the range of corrupt and third world nations. So this is what happens when you throw money at something that doesn't deserve it. Go away, says J.F. Dugin, looks like Rasputin, and in doing so, invited comparisons to Rasputin in the simple minds of Western commentators. I wonder if his daughter would still be alive if he shaved every morning. You are trolling here on a subject that is too dramatic to troll. Go away. Be less of an artist, please. Lawsuits coming for entities that don't change COVID mandates after CDC update, according to a lawyer. entities with COVID-19 vaccine mandates that don't pay heed to the new CDC guidance will face lawsuits, a civil liberty lawyer said. I hope it happens, because there are some people who are still hung up on things that the CDC doesn't even stand for. Now, in my view, we shouldn't listen to the CDC even in the past. You know, we shouldn't have to wait for the CDC to change their mind before we have the liberty of medical self-determination. But certainly at this point, where the CDC doesn't even hold its beliefs anymore, certainly there is no political limit related to COVID that are justifiable. These three liberal-controlled cities have worst post-COVID downturn rebounds. So look at downtowns with the five fastest and five slowest recoveries in activity following the pandemic. So Salt Lake City is booming, Bakersfield, Ohio, Fresno, California, Omaha, Nebraska, and yet you check cities like Chicago, Detroit, Portland, Cleveland, San Francisco. These cities have been self-annihilating in terms of their economy, and people aren't coming back. Census Bureau admits overcounting seven blue states, but just one red state. In a shocking report, the U.S. Census Bureau recently admitted that it overcounted the populations of eight states and undercounted the populations of six states in the 2020 census. Those costly errors will distort congressional representation and the Electoral College. It means that when the Census Bureau reapportioned the House of Representatives, Florida was cheated out of two additional seats it should have gotten. Texas missed out on another seat. Minnesota and Rhode Island each kept a representative they shouldn't have. And Colorado was awarded a new member of the House it didn't deserve. This is absolutely no accident. It is by design. And the whole idea of overrepresentation of Democrat states is intentional. They create confusion with the goal of increasing that count. That's why they are very happy with illegal immigration. They are very happy with undocumented persons. It all allows them to increase their counts. Chuck Garrity says, that was crazy finish in last night's UFC match. Yes, I commented the whole main card of the UFC match. So if you want to see my reaction to it, you can watch yesterday. We had three shows yesterday. We had the regular show, then we had our private Patreon hangout discussing about the Crucible debate. And for this, you have to join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level. And then I went back on Odyssey and did the UFC commentary. Crazy finish by Leon Edwards. Brilliant kick to the head that was instantly reverted the match because he was losing up to then, but he gave a single kick and got a TKO. San Francisco cops catch a catalytic converter thief red-handed, and then they let him go. So they apparently had all of the evidence. They caught him, and then they let him go. Some of the police were frustrated because they were like, hey, we have everything about this guy. It seemed like a slam dunk. Catalytic converter thieves caught in the act. Call the cops. Come quickly. Case closed. Not quite. Suspect free to go. Catalytic converters are in high demand. You get your catalytic converter stolen. Now you are forced by the state to buy another because now you're polluting. And so they sell it back to you basically through the market of used car pieces. And as a last news item before we close the show, lithium prices putting electric vehicle producers under pressure. with demand for electric vehicles on the rise and production bans for petrol and diesel cars in some key markets on the horizon, one of the key metals required to fuel this mobility boom has been surging in price lately. Can you imagine when everyone is forced to buy an electric car, how higher the price will be? It's not even sustainable to buy, economically sensical to buy an electric car right now. Imagine when everyone is forced to buy one. Imagine when the price attains its maximum once the demand has fully been taken into account. It's going to be absolutely scandalous. I hope that I am never forced to buy these overpriced cars. Huzim says, Jeff doesn't like the Beatles so much. Do you like the beat? Do you guys like the Beatles? No, I don't. You're right. I do not like the Beatles. Yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. It's lacking some depth here. It sucks. All right, that is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Oh, and Tillman is asking, JF, did you look into that Chinese electric car that someone talked to me about yesterday? Basically, it's a car, but they change the battery. They don't charge the battery. It's just that you drop your battery and they give you another one. Sure, but that would be impossible to do with the battery ranges that we demand in North America, because the battery is like a massive big square. You cannot just put it out and change it. So with the ranges that are needed for America, I don't think it's ever going to be a reality to do battery switches of that kind. Maybe it's possible with a small range and a very small car. I don't see it happening in North America, but who knows.